Turn again in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, continuing our series through the Sermon on the Mount. As you will remember, the last of three topics that Jesus brought before us here was practicing our righteousness, not for the praise of man, but to be seen by God who sees in secret. So it is with our giving, with our fasting, and with our prayers, that we are to not do them to be people pleasers, but in gratitude and in obedience to the Lord. And Jesus brings us back to the concept of being faithful with the blessings that we've received here in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19, that's found on page 9. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And as far as reading, I do encourage you to keep the Bibles open as we look at these verses together. We pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the contrast and connection between this world and the next is one that we as God's people must always be mindful of. But this contrast can be pushed or applied in the wrong way. For example, perhaps you have heard it said that some people are so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly good. That's a false contrast. As Jesus is going to bring to us today, the more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you become. I had a similar question asked of me back when I was in Canada by a dear brother in the Lord. He asked me this question, Pastor, do you work so that you can eat, or do you eat so that you can work? The contrast being, is food something that is simply fuel that provides you the strength so that you can do your work, or is food the end result? Is food something that you are working for? Here again, this can be pushed in the wrong direction, because food is fuel, giving us strength to do our work, but we can also enjoy the blessings of food. It's not either or, but it can be both and. As we saw last week, a Christian can enjoy a life of both fasting in obedience, but also feasting in obedience. As long as it is done to the Lord, it is for His glory. As we come to Matthew 6, verse 19, Jesus is going to keep this focus before us of how does the present connect to the future, or our view of the future, how does it affect what we do today? We are called to live in light of eternity, but our looking at the future does not mean we have no concern for the present or for today. In other words, Jesus is going to help us keep our earthly possessions and our physical blessings in their proper place. These earthly blessings, physical possessions, are gifts from the Lord, but they are temporary in nature. How you both use them and how you view them displays the state of your heart. So we're going to be considering this theme. Jesus Christ teaches us to store our treasures in heaven as we seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. Jesus Christ is teaching us to store our treasures in heaven as we seek first His kingdom and righteousness. In our first point, then, we are going to consider how people store treasures on earth. What is this storing of treasures on earth, and what does it end up costing you? As we're going to see, the cost is very great. So Jesus begins in verse 19 in our text, "Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth." Do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth. Now, there are a lot of treasures to be found here on the earth. As you may know, the price of gold has gone up something like 75% this past year. Silver is even higher than that. The stock market continues to break records for all-time high. We all have earthly treasures. So how do people lay up, or how do you store up earthly treasures? Well, we store up earthly treasures when we look at the things of this world and we put more emphasis upon them, that the things of this world are more important to us than anything else. And when we receive blessings from God, when we are blessed by the Lord, our response is to build bigger barns in order to store up these treasures here on earth, which leads to a love of and trust in these earthly treasures. The price of your investments, for example, become more important than people. We spend all of our time on our phones checking Robin Hood or Edward Jones or wherever you have. We're spending so much time focusing on the earthly things that they become the focus of our day and indeed the focus of our lives, more important to us than God and His Word. And when we spend these treasures that have been given to us, we spend them on ourselves for a earthly, temporary, passing pleasure. It's the way of consumerism or materialism or paganism, living for this world and using the blessings God gives to us to satisfy the pleasures of the flesh alone. To focus, to prioritize, and to pursue the things of this world at all cost. As our financial advisors will tell us, you need around $2 million in order to retire comfortably in this world. So we set our eyes on that goal, and every decision we make is to bring us from where we are to that particular goal. If we want to be self-sufficient, these are the steps that we follow. But as Paul warns in Timothy, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And again, a reading from Matthew 19, Jesus says this, "It is hard for the rich to enter heaven." It is hard for those who are rich to enter heaven because those earthly possessions crowd out the desire of your heart. So Jesus is warning not only the rich, but he's actually warning all of us that money and riches and the treasures of this world, they make poor gods. Investing in these earthly passing things will always be a poor investment if you look at the long-term return. As we found with Achan in Joshua 7, greed and theft is in fact stealing from God and brings about the destruction of your entire household. So Jesus continues in verse 19 by saying, if you are treasuring the treasures of this world, your heart will follow the things you treasure. And the first reason that we are to resist the human craving, the desire to store up, to amass earthly treasures, is because earthly treasures are temporary and passing. They are perishable by their very nature. All earthly treasures are consumed. So Jesus continues by illustrating for us at the end of verse 19 why we should not store up for ourselves earthly treasures. Why is it unwise to store up for yourself grain and food? Well, people eat it and it's gone. Once you eat the food, it's gone. To say nothing of mice or rodents or insects that can break in and steal, mold, decay, polluting it, rot consuming it, as some of our farmers might know, constantly battling the elements of this world that want to steal our food. How about storing up clothing? Well, if clothing is your idol, if earthly raiments is your desire, you will find that moth can consume it, stains can mark it, wearing your clothes makes them wear out, your favorite jeans or sneakers will only last for a few years, or you'll outgrow them. Clothing remains a poor investment. How about gold and silver? Well, as you know, gold and silver have increased exponentially in this past year. These investments have really increased in their worth. But silver coins and gold bars can be stolen, and once they are spent, they are gone. and you can't take them with you when you die? How about houses and cars? Well, cars break down and rust, as you all know, needing constant repair. Your home needs new shingles, painting, updating. Even the most expensive truck will one day need repairs. And if you are looking for a used car for your child, you will know how difficult it is to find a reliable used car that's not already being consumed by rust. All of that is to say, earthly physical treasures are poor investments because they are perishable, they decay, and they are consumed. And there is no amount of earthly treasures that you can give in exchange for your soul. On the day of judgment, there will be no amount of earthly possessions that you can give that will purchase your soul and save you from eternal condemnation. There is always something better that can be found in this world. Better house, better truck. These things are temporary. They are transient in nature. And where will all these things be in the new creation? As you've often heard, you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You can't take it with you. Added to this, not only is it true that earthly physical possessions are perishable, consumable, and temporary, these earthly physical possessions have the effect of keeping your heart, keeping your focus, keeping your love on the present. Verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you treasure earthly things above all else, you are tying your heart, you are fixing your heart, you are grounding your heart to this world. If you live for today, today is all you have. So Jesus says, be careful. He is warning us, warning the church against focusing too much, putting our priority, putting our love on these earthly things. Remember that it was the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that choke out the seed of the word in Matthew 13. It is the deceitfulness of riches that squeeze the word and choke it from being productive and producing fruit. The fact is, many lives have become unfruitful. Many who were externally members of the church being unfruitful in their life because they've set their hearts on earthly treasures. As I said before, worldly possessions make poor gods. They promise many things, but they only take your time, focus, and steal your heart. They tie you to this world that is passing away. So Jesus says, do not store up for yourself earthly treasures, because if you are storing for yourself earthly treasures on earth, where your treasures are, there your heart will remain. We saw that the past 3 weeks. If your religion is for this world, for the eyes of men, your praise will come from men. So if you are storing up your treasures on this world, in this life, your heart is going to be limited and bound to this world. If you are seeking to surround yourself with earthly treasures, then you will enjoy those treasures only as long as you breathe. Now, to be clear, Jesus is not teaching communism. He is not teaching socialism. He is not saying that God's people, the church, have to live in absolute poverty. No, the Bible does clearly defend private property and individual ownership. Nor is Jesus saying that it is sinful to plan for the future or to save for the future. Yes, it is wise to have a savings account and a retirement account. There's nothing wrong with having a nice house or nice car, nice clothes, or even some gold and silver. Jesus is not warning against saving for your earthly future. Proverbs even says it's wise to add up a little bit at a time for your future. But before we let ourselves off too easily, we have to think about this and ask ourselves the question, how much of our time, how much of our day, how much of our energy, how much of our focus, how much of our love, how much of our heart is focused on earthly treasures. You'll remember the rich man from Matthew 19. A rich man was told to sell his possessions, give to the poor, and follow Jesus. And he couldn't do it. He didn't do it because he had so many earthly possessions. He couldn't obey the Lord because he loved his things more than the Lord. And as a result, he missed out on the greatest reward. So be careful here. Here in the West, we have all been so richly blessed. If we treasure the things of this world above all, then our heart, our love, is linked to earthly, temporary, consumable things. And where your treasures are, there your heart is also. You'll miss out on the treasures that here Jesus promises. So instead of treasuring the things of this world, instead of storing up or laying up for yourself treasures in this life, Jesus tells us in verse 20 that we are to store up treasures in heaven. Now, how do we store up, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? Well, the way that we can do this as Christians is by sending our earthly treasures on ahead. We can spend ourselves, spend our earthly possessions, our time, our talent, our treasures. We can use them in such a way that these treasures that God have given to us grow wings and fly above, go before us, are sent on ahead. Jesus says you can spend in such a way in the 70 or 80 years, however many years the Lord gives you on earth, you can spend in such a way that you are sending your treasures ahead where they will wait for you. And they'll be kept in heaven, undefiled and unspoiled. Where the things of this world are perishable, temporary, and consumable, when you send them on ahead, they remain unperishable, unspoilable, and undefiled. In this way, your treasures receive a great and lasting return for their investment. So Jesus says, lay up treasures, store up treasures in heaven. When you spend your earthly treasures for spiritual good, supporting various Christian ministries, supporting the gospel preaching and the benevolence of the church, you are spending in such a way as to actually save that which you are spending. When you use your time wisely, making the most use of each day with an eye to the future, you can actually save your time, save your talent, save your treasures. Now, perhaps some of you know someone who tends to have the Midas touch. Now, the Midas touch is someone who touches something and that just turns to gold. Some people have the incredible knack for making money. But ask yourself this. Are they walking with the Lord? Is their ability to make money actually profiting them? Because as Jesus says, you can gain the world, but lose your soul. So we need to let these earthly wealth, these earthly possessions, we need to let them have their proper place and keep them in the proper position. We need to use them in such a way that our love for the Lord and our love for fellow man is made evident. For where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. How you spend your earthly treasures proves the state of your heart and proves the things that you love. So you can save and you can spend in this life in such a way that you are motivated by your love for the Lord with an eye to the future. Well, why then should we store treasures in heaven? What reason should we have for seeking the things above? Well, I have four reasons given here in our passage. The first reason we are to store treasures above, number one, is because we are obedient. Obedience We are stewards. Every good and perfect gift comes to us from the Father. We are stewards. Every gift you have, every time, every second, every talent, every ability, every treasure, every dollar you have is a gift from the Father of lights. We are using the Master's gifts in the way that the Master commands us. Obedience is the first reason we are to do this. The second reason we are to store our treasures in heaven is connected to the state of our heart. Do you love the giver more than the gifts? How you use your treasures proves what you love. Do you love the giver of the gift more than the gift itself? If your treasures are used with an eye to eternity, you are proving that you love the Lord. And as you send your treasures on above, your heart is affixed to the Lord who is in glory. Your first love is the Lord and not your treasures or the trinkets of this life. You desire to obey Him and to be with Him because you love Him. You desire to obey Him and to be with Him more than you desire gold or honey from the comb. The third reason that we are to invest in eternity is because of what you've already received. A heart that is moved by gratitude. A heart that is moved by thanksgiving. Why do we do good works? It's because we are thankful Christians who acknowledge all these blessings are undeserved. It's because we've already received the pearl of great price. We've already received the gospel. We've already received salvation. If your sins have already been paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which is more precious than all the gold and the silver in this entire world, then what you do with your own gold and silver will reflect this truth. This reward is not earned, but it is promised. The reward that here Jesus is speaking of cannot be merited, but it is a reward that is secure and is certain. So how you spend your money proves how much you recognize the worth of your salvation. How you use your money proves how highly you regard Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, the final reason why you should invest in heaven, Jesus says, is because investing in heaven is a good investment. It's a good investment. If you ever sat down with your financial advisor, they'll talk about charts and they'll say, well, past performance is no guarantee of future returns. Your financial advisors cannot promise a future return, but Jesus does promise a future return. It is wise, Jesus is saying, to invest this way because the rewards that I promise to give cannot be lost, cannot be consumed, and will last forever. They are permanent and they are valuable. So Jesus says, you will by no means lose your reward. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus has your good in view. Jesus is not trying to rip from you or rob from you. He is promising you something better, something greater. It is for your good to store up treasures in heaven. In some ways, we could say that Jesus is speaking about the law of compound interest. Compound interest is a great savings tool where you have interest upon interest and it grows exponentially. Jesus is pointing to the growing interest and increase of the reward in Matthew 19. We read that earlier, Matthew 19, 29. Jesus says to his disciples that if you have given up the things of this world, you will by no means miss out on the reward. Peter asserts to this statement by saying, this is Peter talking to Jesus, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. And Jesus responds by saying, this is in Matthew 19, everyone who has left house or family or land for my name's sake will certainly receive a reward. What kind of reward? A 100-fold reward. Where if you give up one, you get 100 in return. So what are these treasures that Jesus is speaking about? Well, when Jesus specifically mentions house, family, and land, let's consider that. What does it mean to give up your family? Well, Jesus is speaking about relationships. If you are willing to view your relationships in light of eternity, in light of heaven, if you choose faith and obedience before family and friends, faith and obedience before family and friends, you are giving up your family in that sense. You're giving up your friends. But Jesus is saying, if you give up your family and friends and you choose to follow me, you will by no means lose your reward. In fact, you will be restored 100-fold in heaven. You'll receive 100-fold more family and friends in heaven. That will be your reward. A new and greater family in glory will be the return on your investment. Well, what about giving up your home? What if you are sacrificing your home for the sake of your faith, meaning that you are opening your home for hospitality and fellowship? Jesus is saying, if you are giving up your home for me on earth, I will give you a home in heaven. But the home in heaven is going to be so much greater than any house you had here on earth below. How about your lands? You give up your ability to make more money. You refuse to make more money and choose obedience. Well, if you do that, you've given up lands for me, earthly possessions, and you will find that Jesus Christ does not forget, and he will restore you entrance into the glorious land of rest and blessings in the world to come. If you refuse to idolize food, you give up food for fasting, for example, for the sake of obedience and growing in your communion with Christ. If you refuse to idolize food, then the food that you have forsaken for me on earth below will be returned in the form of the marriage supper, of the feast, of the wedding, and the lamb. If you refuse to amass wealth, and you refuse to set your heart on gold and silver in this life, Jesus is saying, I promise you better possessions in the life to come. Gold and silver today, it ain't going to last you. But if you give it up for the sake of Christ and invest it in eternity, Jesus says you're going to walk on streets of gold. You're going to be housed in the New Jerusalem that has walls made of precious stones and gates made of pearl. As you can see, Jesus is saying, I will really give you a good return on your investment. He's speaking of the things that should fill our hearts, fill us with joy and even eager expectation. Jesus is saying, why are you clinging? Why are you holding onto the things that you can't keep? Let them go. Give them to me. And I will keep them safe, and I'll return you a great reward. Spend yourself, spend your time, spend your money with an eye on eternity, and Jesus will surely reward you, for he has promised, and he is faithful. To conclude, you have heard that it says, what's said, do you own your possessions, or do your possessions own you? Jesus says it like this, where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Do you love the gifts more than you love the giver? What do you love? What are you living for? This life or the life to come? Do you want to listen to those false preachers that say, those prosperity gospel preachers who say, you can have the best life now? I don't want that. I don't want my best life now. I want the best life tomorrow, in eternity, forever. That's the best life that I want. Do you want your reward to be taken away or kept in heaven for you? Jesus Christ teaches us to store up our treasures in heaven as we seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. For what you love, that you will serve. What your heart pursues, you will treasure. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder of the promise of rewards that has been given to us here by Jesus Christ. We thank you that these rewards are not earned, they're not merited, and yet they are promised and kept in heaven. So may we, O Lord, set our hearts on things above. May we treasure the things above more than the things of this world. And may we look forward to, O Lord, spending ourselves because we love you and we love your people. We pray all this in Jesus' name.